A turtle is designed for defense. A tiny tank swimming around a river with an armored body that's hardened against hungry fish and birds. But what if you share a river with a creature that has huge jaws capable of crushing even the tankiest turtle armor? Would you stick your neck out? You might if you have some other tricks up your sleeve in life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website at LDTaxonomy.com.
And today we're talking about a stinky turt, but more on that later.
Like a turt in the wind.
Shortening turtle.
I still need to see this.
Is very good.
I still need to watch the second Venom movie, but now that I think about
really
it, I don't think I need to. I don't think I need to watch that at all. I think I got everything I needed from the first one, and that wasn't much.
It was more than enough.
Yeah. More whatever that Tom, whatever his name is. He's pretty good.
Hardy.
Yeah. Tom Hardy. There's a lot of Toms. Mm-hmm. Hanks, Cruz, Holland.
Yeah.
And that one got lost in the Hiddleston. Lost in the shuffle. Oh yeah. Must you just
Massey.
go on I was gonna say you must go on like movie sets and be like, oh, there's three like super famous Toms on this Marvel movie, and there's a bunch of Chris's.
It's Toms and Chris's.
Things are gonna get
sometimes Jennifer.
Things are gonna a couple Jennifers. Yeah, I mean like my the men's Bible study at my church is all Mikes and Bobs and Matts. Mikes, Bobs, and Matts. So, you know, you just start saying like that's Tall Bob and that's Thin Ken. So anyway, we're not talking about Bob, Ken, or Tom, or Dick or Harry. We're talking about Eastern long-necked turtles. Turts.
Exactly right.
It's also called the snake-necked turtle, the common long-necked turtle, or, and this one was fun, just Stinker. Like,
yeah.
Samwise Gamgee named this thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Stinker, don't be getting too far ahead.
Exactly right. Yeah, that just a nice Australian nickname for him.
Stinker. No, Stinkery Do.
No, I mean,
I think is the Australian name for that.
No, I'm saying it's a nickname given to him by Australians. It actually is an Australian nickname.
Oh, but it doesn't sound as Australian.
Oh,
something
no,
like
it could sound more Australian. Yes.
Yeah. It could always sound more Australian. But we're going to call it here. Ou de Turtle.
Nice.
Turtlet. And teenage puking binge turtle.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting. Would you like a science?
I would.
One science coming right up. The kingdom is one you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. The class is Reptilia by the Strokes. The subclass is Diapsida, which sounds like a Greek goddess of bifurcated things. The order is Testudines, which we've been here before. It's turtles and tortoises. The suborder is Plurodira. Plurodira. The family is Chelidae. The genus is Chelodina. That doesn't sound right. Chelodina. And the species is Longicollis. Chelodina longicollis is the binomial nomenclature. And since we are in the business of naming things, it's time for the listener's favorite part of the show. Critter groups. Part of the show where I ask you Joe a question, and that is, what is the name for a group of this animal? Or what is the term of venery? Or what is the collective noun for turtles? If you saw a group of turtles, what would you call it? Would you call it A damp of turtles? B, a dike of turtles? C, a drop of turtles? Or D, a dole of turtles?
I guess a drop of turtles?
That is incorrect. The answer is dole.
Okay.
It's a dole of turtles.
I'll dole you out
How
some turts. How could
you not know that? Yeah, you get a dollop of turtles.
Great.
Sounds delicious. Yeah, a dole of turtles. They are usually... that is a less common one. The more common one is a bale of turtles. But we already went over that when we talked about the alligator snapping turtle. Bale the dread. Would you like to know about what this... the eastern long-necked turtle looks like?
I sure would.
It's pretty on the nose. It's described pretty well in its name. You can tell just how unbelievably eastern it is. By the way that it is. But more importantly, you can tell how unbelievably long-necked it is by how long its neck is. It looks like you took a normal lake turtle and just grabbed the tip of the head and just kind of stretched out in Photoshop for a little bit. There's probably some sort of like skibbity toilet thing that someone could probably make out of it, but I'm not exactly sure how that works. So
I don't know what that even means.
Move on. I'm way out of my depth at this point. They have toys. Go in the toy aisle, and there's like skibbity toys. Like,
but once it goes commercial, isn't guys, it not like, cool anymore? Isn't that when it's over?
I don't know. I don't see people buying those toys. So
have you done a stakeout in the aisle?
We spend a lot of time in the toy aisle. It's how we cultivate a sense of discontentment in our children. It's like, hey, I know you guys have a lot of toys at home.
Hungry,
but we're
going
to go to Target and play with the toys that we're not going to buy that you want really bad. And so, we'll spend a while. It's been a while since we've done it, but we used to spend a while in the toy aisle.
Foster a love of consumerism in their tiny hearts.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, some of the things that are the most popular are the most commercialized, like Jurassic Park and Transformers and Spider-Man. Holy moly, Spider-Man's on everything.
Oh.
And every kid's obsessed with it, it seems. Anyway, so the eastern long-necked turtle has a flat oval shell that ranges from dark brown to black on the top. It's the belly part, so it's countershaded like a lot of turtles are. So the underside is like a cream or yellowish with dark markings that kind of look like coffee stains. It has pebbly, leathery skin instead of smooth skin. Which, I mean, I think a lot of turtles have rough skin. I can't think of a turtle that would have like really smooth skin. But I don't touch a lot of turtles.
Yeah, I'm not
believe
touching
it or not.
Turds that much.
I do like, I have picked up several of them that are in the middle of the road, and moved them off the middle of the road. So I have picked up their shell, like picked them up by their shells, but I don't touch their skin. That's yuck.
They don't. They specifically don't want you to do that. Yeah.
So right.
That's where the shell is
from. I mean, I've been scratched by them because they usually just, you know, try and swim away from me in midair. And then they pee on me and hiss. So
all
that's the thanks I get for saving their lives.
All of the ways a turtle does things.
It's all like I've done everything. I've even released the flares.
Yeah. We're out of flares, Maverick.
Okay, so it has a narrow head with the pointy with little beaded eyes like turtles are wont to have, but that head is at the end of a long neck, like sometimes nearly as long as the shell itself. In fact, rather than like have its head retreat into its neck, into its shell, it folds its neck like a spring into its shell. So if you look at it, it definitely looks like a snake has taken up residence inside of a turtle shell, and you know, still has arms and legs and stuff. It looks very snake-like, and it has those webbed feet and claws that are built for paddling through murky water. It's not a tortoise; it's a turtle. It swims, and it's relatively lightweight and streamlined compared to a lot of turtles. And so that brings us to how big it is, because turtles can range. I mean, there is an alligator snapping turtle at the Jacksonville Zoo that has to weigh 500 pounds. It's huge. It looks like a boulder. But then you also have, you know, tiny little red-eared sliders, which, you know, now that I say it out loud, sound delicious.
Well, welcome to the Blow Up Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show, when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos is forced by
law. It's been a while.
To guess what it is.
Since I heard a measure up.
True.
I don't know why I sing that like Pearl Jam. It's not a Pearl Jam song.
Without further ado, the listeners part of the show. You know who that is?
Is that Vern from Over the Hedge?
That's exactly who that is. That's a turtle.
Nice.
That's Vern the Turt.
I was confused, but then once I heard the lawnmower, for some reason it like triggered a deep memory of the one time I've seen that movie. I did play the video game though.
Yeah, me too. So.
Hey, that's why I can remember it. I remember the Bruce Willis is the raccoon.
Mm-hmm. It does have an interesting voice cast. I think Steve Carell is the squirrel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do remember. Yeah, it's all coming back to me now. The squirrel drinking the Red Bull or something and stopping time.
Yeah, he is. And William Shatner. Is in it.
Is he the bear?
Is Ozzy the bear?
No. He's the possum. The possum dad that right. like pretends to faint all the time. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Avril Lavigne's.
I guess as a kid I didn't care that it was William Shatner, but it's one of the star studded like DreamWorks style movies that tried to get by on its star power. Rather than in a Pixar dominated world.
It was pretty funny though, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid one. But yeah. Burn from over the hedge.
Alrighty. Well, let's talk about their length. Males are... actually, females are 28.2 centimeters or 11.1 inches. Males are 24.9 centimeters or 9.18 inches. Females are slightly larger. Just like eagles in that regard.
A lot of animals.
Not that many. Well, you know what? Well, I won't say that because who knows what's going on with bugs. And if even just most bugs are a certain way, then most animals are.
It's true, yeah. Well, the queen ant and bee are the biggest ones.
True, true.
The black widow's... female spiders are bigger than...
But when you're talking...
fish? A lot of female fish are bigger than male fish?
But when you're talking reptiles and birds, you never know.
Yeah.
The Styx River is found in the underworld in Greek mythology, or rather the, like... I guess it's the
River Styx.
The Styx River, I guess. Is it found in the underworld, or is it how you get to the underworld? It's underworld adjacent for sure.
It sounds like I think you do need to go down it. I think it leads to the underworld.
I thought you had to
have to pay the boatman,
it.
Right? I thought you had to like pay the boatman Are to you take f- you down the you river
do.
Styx.
Do you have to go down or ford it?
I've always like the phrase going down the river Styx seems, or going down the river, sounds. Like something I've heard.
It's a river.
I don't know if the underworld is on the other side.
Of the underworld that forms the boundary between the world of the living and the world of the dead.
Okay, so you have to cross it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's also the Styx River. It's also in the eastern portion of central Queensland in Australia. So, true or false, 141,870 Eastern long-necked turts go into the length of the Styx River.
141,000, and it's almost a foot long. About like a 26-mile, maybe a 30-mile river. That seems like kind of a short river, but not impossible. Let's go with yes.
True.
I don't know.
Final answer?
I have no. All I can think of, the only reference point I have is that long enough to be a river? And I 30 miles seems long enough to be a river to me. So, yeah.
The correct answer is false. The real river is 21 miles long.
20 miles long?
21, yeah. So it was even shorter.
That's still long enough. I mean,
it's long enough. They let it be a river. Yeah.
And not a creek, right?
Right. It would have been a creek if it was a little shorter, and a creek if it was even shorter than that.
Yeah, you know me. You know how much I like genres. All you got to do is just there's that border, and as soon as you get past fewer than 20 miles, you become a creek. Sorry.
There's a Styx River in Tasmania and New Zealand.
There's a Tasmanian devil. There's a devil in Tasmania too.
Exactly.
So you have the underworld and the River Styx right there.
There's also a Styx River in Alabama, New South Wales. There's multiple Styx Rivers in Australia. That seems poor. I don't like that.
This poor river planning?
Yeah, in Ohio. I guess it is a mythical river, so you're going to have rivers all over the world named after it.
Is it all Styx?
Yeah. No, it's not just Styx with like poo sticks. Like it's just for playing poo sticks.
Well, like what the
Should we have a bunch of Mount Olympuses then?
Sure, there are some.
By the same logic?
I'm not saying we should. I'm just saying it makes sense that we do.
Like we have, like there's a, like we have Rome, Georgia, and London, Canada.
And Athens, that kind of Georgia. Stuff.
Yeah. Just trying to ride the fame of.
Honestly, of the
something legendary.
The Roman Empire was obsessed with the Greeks, and the rest of Western culture forever is obsessed with the Romans. So,
and by extension, the Greeks.
Right. So there you go. It all comes full circle. Full circle. Let's talk about their weight. They're 450 to 800 grams. About 1.1 to 1.8 pounds. A little over a pound. Nearly a foot.
1.8 pounds.
A little over a pound.
You said 1.8 pounds?
Yes.
That's almost 2 pounds, right?
Yes.
Okay. Almost a kilogram.
Yeah, 800 grams. So, Eastern longneck turtles share an ecosystem with the common yabby. Any guesses as to what a yabby is?
Is it a children's show about cats on Netflix? Because if not,
Yabby the Tabby? I mean, no,
that
it is
seared into my.
It is a crustacean that is bluish black to brown in nature, but has been bred to be vibrant blue in the pet trade. You could buy one that like is unnatural blue looking, but it's bred to be that way. It's not dyed or anything like that. It just,
huh?
It's genes. So true or false?
Blue jeans.
Blue jeans, exactly right. True or false, an eastern longneck turtle would have to eat exactly 10 yabbies to eat its weight in yabbies.
True.
True?
Final answer, yes.
The correct answer is true. Yeah. The yabby is 80 grams.
I am so smart.
80 gram yabby, 800 gram turt.
That was just me knowing the exact weights of everything you just mentioned and not guessing a 50-50 at all.
You would never besmirch the quiz measure up.
No, I would never throw caution to the wind and flip a coin.
Well, that's all I got for that. Do you have any big facts before we get into the little facts? I mean, the opposite of that.
Wait, what?
Do you have any fast facts before we get into the major facts?
You didn't tell me I was supposed to have big facts.
You have to have substantial facts.
I thought they just had to be quick. Like, they had to be rapid and not slow facts. They just had to be car facts. So, as we've alluded to, the eastern longneck turtle is found in eastern and southeastern Australia. It lives in rivers, swamps, ponds, creeks, cricks, if you want to get that specific. If it's basically if there's opaque water and mosquitoes, then this turtle is already there. The eastern longneck turtle is carnivorous and opportunistic. So it likes to eat insects, tadpoles, frogs, small fish, crustaceans, worms, and even dead things that fall into the water. It uses ambush tactics and does kind of this like sideways snake lunge to grab prey. I mean, it does look like it's unfolding and snapping out like a snake, striking. It has a breeding season, which usually takes place during the warmer months, and females can lay multiple clutches of eggs each season. They travel far over land from one water source to another, especially if it has recently rained and everything is wet. They like to seek out new water sources and are willing to go the distance. There's another Greek thing for you.
That's very Greek.
It's so Greek. Often they live for about 20 to 30 years in the wild. That's just standard turtle life. And they can live even longer in captivity as long as predators and trying to cross busy highways does not stop them. Do not stop them. There's the multiples. They are mostly solitary and are not found in bales or doles very often. But they do need to keep an eye out for birds, foxes, monitor lizards, large fish. And of course, as a turtle, they can rely on their shell for defense. But they also camouflage pretty well with their counter shading. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. I think I already mentioned the neck folding thing, but yeah, they kind of just curl up their neck in the top part of their shell rather than retracting their neck straight back. So yeah, this is a weird noodle with a rock at the end.
Yeah, or a rock with a noodle at the end, one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm calling this major fact a little stinker. This eastern long-necked turtle releases a pungent yellow fluid from a pair of musk glands called the Rathke's gland. They're located in the armpits and the groin regions, you know, where you're going to want to stink. Each gland can store up to 2.5 milliliters of yellow fluid. And when handled, threatened, or disturbed in any way, if their reflective tranquility is interrupted, it releases this pungent yellow fluid that can be sprayed or ejected a short distance, some say even up to 3 feet or a meter.
That is not a short distance.
In the grand scheme.
Compared to its
They can't its shoot length. It the entire length of the Styx River.
No, that'd be 21 miles.
In fact, it's a very short distance if you consider the vastness of the universe.
Right, but it's a long distance if you consider how long they are. It's 3 times longer than them.
It's true. I could throw a baseball farther.
Yeah, but can you projectile vomit that far?
Yeah.
Body length?
Well, I can't projectile
vomit. That'd be impressive. Or expectorate that far?
Does that mean making Isn't ghosts
the
leave
technical
you?
Term? it's to spit. Can you spit?
I could probably spit 3 feet.
Like 15 feet? They're not 3 feet.
Yeah. Can you spit I might be able to spit
almost 20 feet.
That's a good question. That's probably a Guinness book of that's Guinness record.
Like of longest spit distance. Somebody knows that.
Farthest spit this in the world, 10 meters. 34 feet.
30 feet. Okay, well. Held then never mind. I take it back.
Jordan from France.
This eastern long-necked turtle is completely unremarkable. Alan Jordan from France should be the animal that we're talking about.
Exactly. In 1979, researchers identified 4 omega phentalkanoic acids, chemicals that, when mixed together, stink together. At low concentrations, these
family that stinks together stays together.
Exactly. At low concentrations, these acids are sweet smelling, like honey. And it's even sometimes used in perfume. But in higher concentrations, it creates a pungent, urine-like, musty smell. Similar acids are found in human sweat and urine. So it's like the kind of thing that's in these sweat glands of creatures like us and turds. But it's super concentrated and really stinky in this turtle.
Concentrated BO.
Mm-hmm.
That must smell delightful.
So why does a foul smelling thing cause an animal to pass up a meal? Of course, something that stinks doesn't sound very appetizing, but it's also true that humans learn to eat stinky things like cheese and durian and Brussels sprouts. When we learn that they are safe to eat, your mind takes over and you're like, well, new flavors and, I can eat that. So why don't animals push through and get to those all important calories? Many species have hardwired responses against something that smells bad, or tastes bad. And it's not even a choice. They just cannot eat it. For example, most animals find the smell of rotting flesh repulsive due to a specialized olfactory receptor that allows them to trigger that triggers avoidance or disgust, signaling bacterial decomposition and the high potential for disease. Your risk goes up for disease when you eat something that's rotting, unless you are a vulture with a very, very, very highly acidic stomach that can handle it.
Or the eastern long-necked turtle likes to eat carrion, so.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of things can
eat. Hyenas.
Carrion, as long as they get to it quick enough.
Fast enough,
once it starts
yeah.
to really stink, then, like, the bacteria has gotten out of hand. Predators quickly avoid a bad smell with a bad post-meal experiences through conditioned taste or odor aversion. A single bad experience can lead to a long-term avoidance of that smell or similar prey. This is also why if you eat something that gives you food poisoning, you're going to have an aversion to that food for a really long time. Even if you know, like, that was just one bad batch of, you know, ceviche. I'm not going to eat ceviche ever. Like, it's going to be a long time before I have it. Because you got sick.
It's funny that you say that. Because when I went to Peru with our mutual friend, he got sick because he ate ceviche.
I thought he said it was cooked food. He swears against, he thinks ceviche is the best thing ever, and he hates cooked fish.
Now, he ate some ceviche and got sick, and then I ate some home-cooked fish soup, and then I got sick.
Well, so, guess what? Ceviche is cooked with hopes and dreams. It's not cooked. It's put in a vat of lemon juice acid, and that's what we're counting as cooked.
Oh, I didn't say his was cooked. I said mine was cooked. I did not eat ceviche. I ate some other fish soup thing.
No, I'm saying that was cooked. I know. I'm saying that ceviche. I mean, what are we expecting from ceviche? Your risks.
Oh, like,
you're
risking. Of course, you're going to get sick.
But apparently, a lot of people do it and they like it. And it's also cold. Ew, guys, come on. Disgusting.
It's like it's doing the Rocky Balboa, like, just blending up a bunch of raw eggs, and not only is it cold, but you're also definitely gonna get salmonella.
If you could get it right out of the egg, you're probably okay. Just don't want to sit it out for a while. I would drink raw eggs before eating ceviche.
That's a tough one. I'd probably have to go with ceviche.
Gross. Put some salt and pepper in there. Foul chemicals can irritate mucous membranes and cause nausea and activate brain pathways linked to vomiting. Brain pathways linked to the vomiting center, making continued consumption highly unpleasant.
The vomiting center.
So there is a
what? What an honor. The vomitorium.
So there's a physiological response in your brain and body to make you not eat stuff that smells really pungent. And it's so that you don't accidentally, an animal doesn't accidentally eat something that is got a high percent chance of causing them to get sick.
Yes. Sour, like that sickly sour smell is supposed to stop you, supposed to tell you like, hey, this might be rotten. And then the bitter taste is supposed to tell you, hey, this might be poison.
Right. Exactly.
So people that like bitter things have managed to overwrite that, like, this is probably poison part of their brains.
Spices to tell you to...
Yes, I do.
To get the heck away from me, and we have found a way to enjoy it.
Yeah, we're like, I will enjoy grain alcohol and black coffee. You can't stop me. I also enjoy soap. I just like to eat soap. So...
Okay, you do? That's great.
No, if you like those things, then it's like that. Those three things are as bitter to me as the other.
Nah, soap is more bitter. Double IPA is getting pretty close, though.
I don't know. It's even, some of those IPAs are even floral.
Yeah.
So it's like this definitely tastes... Like,
I think I've asked you this before. Do you like
shoulders.
Sour stuff, or do you just like?
I don't.
The middle.
I don't jump for sour things, but like I will enjoy like sour candies.
See, that's I don't like
kind
sour
of,
but stuff.
It's like,
but
if
I
had
like
an
bitter stuff, so I wonder if people.
If I had an option.
Do that.
Yeah, but I don't like it. I don't love sour stuff. If I had an option between something sour, like a sour candy, and any other kind of candy, I would go for the other one.
So you prefer it just right down the middle.
It's like, you know, I like sweet things.
Sweet and savory.
It's good to be sweet.
But anyway, how
effective, sweet and savory, yeah.
How effective is this stinky defense? A 1998 study found that musk-tainted food, tainted with this turtle musk, was avoided by some predators, including eels and freshwater crocodiles. But not all predators. Some of them didn't care. But eels and freshwater crocodiles seem to be the things that a water-loving turt would find. But isn't that crazy that crocodiles are a primordial eating machine? Who you can watch videos of them accidentally tearing off the limbs of their friends during like a feeding frenzy and eating that. And their stomachs sometimes...
They also eat rocks.
They eat rocks.
To
sometimes
digest
their food, if like it's too cold, if they eat a big meal and then it gets too cold, food will rot in their stomachs because it stays in there so long.
Because they don't die. Their metabolism
right,
goes
down.
To one.
Right.
One metabolism.
Even these guys are grossed out by a stinky turd.
Wow. So you can gross out a crocodile. I would try it with a tiger shark. See if the tiger shark turns up its nose to it.
The study also noted a possible opossumatic warning behavior in hatchlings. Some hatchlings flipped onto their backs or oriented their bright orange and black plastron, whatever that is, toward approaching eels while floating, suggesting a possible combination of warning coloration and noxious smell.
Nice.
Yeah. I typed in plastron.
Turtling.
Oh, it's a ventral part of a turtle's shell. It's the underside of a turtle.
The belly.
Turtle. Yeah. Turtle belly. It's called
turtle
plastron.
Belly.
But that's all I got for that. Stinky turtles.
The stinker.
The stinker. That's his name.
I guess if I picked up, if I was the kind of person that picked up a lot of turtles and I picked up one that did this to me, I'd be like, oh, right, it's a stinker.
Oh, man, imagine you're fishing and you get caught, you catch a stinker. That seems like a bad time. You don't want to catch, it's bad to get catch a turtle in general, right? Because they're hard to
Because you can't get the hook out of their mouth, yeah. You just cut the line and cut your losses. But yeah, now's the Eastern long-necked turtle. For you out there in Podcastia, putz around in a pond, weaponize your BO, and spray and pray for your enemies like the Eastern long-necked snake here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
My favorite in the world podcast.
There's a guy running for Congress named Sheriff Street.